How long have you been preaching, Brother Neil?
Say again?
How long have you been preaching?
A little while now.
Do you still get nervous?
Oh, yeah. Just trying to get all the butterflies in line.
I only ever got this nervous when my mum would call me by my full name. She still does it. It's just not as frequent. All right. Hebrews chapter 12. We're in Hebrews chapter 12 tonight. I wasn't originally going to preach this. I had something else prepared, but about 3 o'clock this afternoon, the Lord sort of changed directions on me. Sometimes you go through and you prepare a whole message just for the Lord to teach you one thing. And when that's done, there's no point preaching it, is there? He's taught you what He wanted you to learn. But I want to preach from you from Hebrews 12 this afternoon. Hebrews 12, chapter 12, verse 12 through to 14. We'll read this and we'll pray and then we'll see what the Lord has for us. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight the paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, and let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Lord and Saviour, it is good to be in church tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd get me out of the way, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would minister to the people through your word tonight, Lord. And I pray, Lord, everything they said and done tonight, Lord, bring honour and glory to you and you alone. And we ask this in your name. Amen. For many of us here, it's been a tough year. We've sort of closed out 2020. We've had toilet paper crisis. We've had toilet paper crisis and more toilet paper crisis. It's kind of a laughable thing that society panics over such a thing as toilet paper. But nonetheless, it's been a tough year for many of us. Personally, in your personal walk with the Lord, as a church, there's been people that have expressed the heartache and the troubles they've gone through in the restrictions that were placed on us as part of the COVID-19 pandemic. And it's been that, personal relationships with the Lord. It's been pain that people have faced in the church through other people in the church. People have left, people have moved on. There's been a lot of pain that's been caused. And often these sort of things can derail individuals. And you know, in the beginning of Hebrews here, it says, wherefore seeing we are all compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We're in a race. Now, for some of the young boys here, this is a competition, but we're all in our own race. And we're all competing at a different rate. The Lord is teaching us different things as we move through this life as a Christian and the race that we're in. But church, it's normal to have struggles in this race. If you meet these Christians and they're always so happy and nothing ever gets them down and they just seem a little unreal, and you go home, you're feeling discouraged, and they go home and they continue to run this race that they have no problems with, and you wonder whether it's even real. But we have struggles in this race. You know, we have falls and we have shortcomings. And we have issues in the church because of people's shortcomings. Some more than others. I won't point names and name fingers, all right? But tonight I just want to be an encouragement to you as we go into this new year in 2021, and as Christians as we continue this race that we are in. And in Hebrews 12 verse 1, which we just read, as sort of the bouncing, well, the launching pad of where we're going to go with this tonight. But in the text we just read in Hebrews 12 through to 14, the writer has given us three direct exhortations that we are supposed to grab a hold of as we go through this life and this race. And in verse 12 it says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. The first point I want to bring out is a resolve. Lift up. Wherefore lift up. And this idea of lifting up means to set straight. Setting straight or correcting something that is broken. And this word here, lift up, if you go original Greek, for some of you who like that, we get our word orthopedic from. My dad, the big Greek word person, he watches this. We used to stream up and say, oh, the Greek word, because it was one of his favourites. But the runner here is described as having drooping hands and feeble knees. And for any of us that have been athletic in our past day, for some of you it is your past days, where you were athletic, and I did a lot of long distance running when I was in school. And you'd get sort of halfway through it and your knees were feeble and you sort of start running real slow and your hands are drooping down low because you've been running for so long. And the runner here is worn out. And for us, we get worn out, and we get discouraged, and we feel like quitting, and we feel as if we cannot go along any further. But the writer here, he says, lift up your hands that hang down low and feeble knees. The image here of lifting up the feeble knees is actually found in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 35, verse 3 and 4, you can turn there. Isaiah 35, verse 3 and 4. Isaiah 35, verses 3 and 4, and it reads, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. The writer here is saying, strengthen yourselves. That's the responsibility of the Christian. We are to strengthen ourselves. We've all met Christians that are in church. And, you know, some people struggle along the Christian walk more than others. But some people are more needy than others. But we all know those Christians that it's a constant drama. And they never seem to get victory in any of their own shortcomings. They never seem to be able to, you know, hold their own. And you know what I'm talking about? You seem to always be carrying them. But it's our responsibility as Christians to strengthen ourselves. Our relationship with the Lord is our own personal responsibility. It's not my responsibility to carry Kieran. It's not Kieran's responsibility to carry Jack. Yes, you can encourage each other, but we're not to. It's not our relationship is our personal responsibility. Amen. With the Lord. The strength you need is found in what God has promised that He will do. This is where you find your strength. God has promised you to do that He will do things, and that's where we find our strength, in the promise of God's word. And we find strength in the experience, in the obedience towards God through faith. No one will ever win this race if they don't get up and get moving. And none of us like whingers. You know those kids that used to play games at youth group or at school and they start losing? Nah, I'm not playing anymore. We all know them, don't we? Is that what Neil's like, Sister Linda? I don't think so. But you're not going to win if you don't get up and get moving. And we have a great illustration in Acts 3. If you could turn there, Acts 3. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through to verse 10. With this idea of you've got to, you know, strength, you know, getting strength and relying on the promises that God will do, and the experience you have in the obedience towards God. In Acts chapter 3, verses 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gates of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and looked and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankles bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. There you go, John, go for it. John was joking tonight about people running around the church. They do it in America. They get excited and they run around the church. And John goes, I don't know if that's biblical. And I said, well, wait until tonight. But he got up, he was leaping and praising. He had to get up. You know, the Lord's given you strength, but it's your responsibility to get up and embrace that. Supernatural strength is imparted when human strength is exerted by faith. A writer said, supernatural strength is imparted when human strength is exerted by faith. We cannot expect to grow if we're sitting in the corner whinging about our circumstances in life. The Bible says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And the Lord uses, I think Neil said this morning, the Lord uses all your circumstances in your life to grow you, no matter what they are. But a lot of time being Aussies, we complain about them, don't we? You have to get up and decide to run on. That lame man, he had to get up and he had to get up. He was sitting there going, no, I don't think it's going to work. Wouldn't have got him anywhere. He had to get up. You don't get strong if you don't exercise. You've all heard the illustration of the black dog and the white dog. If you feed the black dog, he gets strong. If you feed the white dog, he gets strong. And we struggle with the flesh so much, often because we continue just to feed the flesh. We have no strength of the Spirit because we do not feed the Spirit. And in the Christian life, renewal and revival begins when there is obedience towards Christ. God has promised what He'll give you. It's up to you to step out by faith and accept it. So a resolve. You have to be resolved to get up when you fall down. Second exhortation in verse 13. I'll finally get back to where I am. Verse 13. And make straight the path of your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And the point I've got here, to remove. So we've seen a resolve, and now we have to remove. If you've been injured or had a broken bone or a torn ligament, some of you who are athletic, like myself, when you've had some of these injuries playing sport, no doubt our two swimmers here would have. You know the pain. And when you go through these injuries, you go through a period of time, a process called rehab. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we go through rehab. And you've got to be cautious with yourself, because that's been a stumbling block and a falling before. I had an opportunity to talk to a young fellow a while ago. He was just struggling with a few things young lads do when they sort of grow up a bit. And I had the opportunity to talk to him. I said, you know, there's practical things you can put in place to help yourself not stumble. There's practical things we can put in our lives that'll help us keep on running. You know, oftentimes we continue to fall and continue to fall and continue to fall because we haven't removed that thing that's causing a stumbling block. Rehab. This is the kind of therapy that is precautionary. Strength has to be regained so that you don't re-injure yourself. And you should be quite careful walking so that you don't re-injure yourself. Verse 13, and make straight the path of your feet. And making straight has the idea of removing all obstacles so that from your course that it's as smooth and as straight as possible. If we held a race down here in the car park and we had all the cars in the way, we had milk crates. Actually, where is my milk crate? It's all right. I'm only joking. But if we had all these obstacles sitting in the car park, we had broken trees and we had debris and rubbish flying around and we held a race, what is the likelihood of someone being injured? It's high. The first thing we would do is remove all the obstacles, all the debris, all the rubbish. And that is the same in our life, in our Christian race. We need to remove the rubbish out of the way. We need to remove it off the track to save ourselves from injury. That may be whatever Generally, it's going to be something you struggle with. You know, a besetting sin. We need to remove. In verse 13 it says, make straight the path for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. The writer here is exhorting people to remove the rubbish out of your life. In Proverbs 24 verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. You know, if we don't remove these stumbling blocks, if we don't remove the debris and the rubbish, you will fall back in. You will stumble again. Just as that injury, as you go through rehab, you've got to be careful. Why? Because you can re-injure that same muscle. You may break that same bone again. Yeah, are you with me? Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
We're all quiet here tonight.
That's good.
I'm just trying to be an encouragement, not preach hellfire and brimstone, right? But we need to be careful. I need to be careful.
Yep.
You know, there's being honest with you, there's things that I struggle with now that I was struggling with 4 years ago. But I haven't learned, I haven't gained victory in that. Why? Is it because I haven't removed things? Or is it because I just haven't really quite learnt it yet? You know, you put things in place to remove it, but the Lord goes, no, you're not getting the point. You've got to learn it. You're just removing. Sometimes it's just you just remove things to make it a bit easier. We get people that come into the church, have a problem with someone in the church, and they move on. They haven't learnt the lesson. That's just the easy way out. Sometimes you've got to learn it. Put some grit in your grinder and learn it. And that's hard. You know, these things that you may need to remove, they might be unwise friend choices. You know, someone used the illustration the other day of putting someone up here. It's easy to pull them down than it is to pull someone up. You know, I don't know many of the friends I used to knock around with that were hanging around ungodly friends that are still in church. And even fewer that have brought them to church and they've gotten saved. I'm not saying cut everyone off and go into this idea of separation where you isolate yourself. But maybe those friends need to be removed because you're not being an effective witness to them anymore. Questionable activities. It may not be a problem for you, but it may be for someone else. Questionable business dealings. The list could go on and on. There's things in our lives we need to remove. The writer is making it clear here to remove anything in your life that could possibly be a hindrance to your growth. You know, we have things in our lives. We participate in things in our lives that even subconsciously we don't necessarily think are wrong, but they do hinder your growth as an individual with Christ. You know, the Lord later on in your life might show you. There's things that people find have convictions of in our church that I don't, and convictions I have that you don't, because the Lord's growing us at all different rates. And we get back to the same thing, we're all on this race at different rates. But to grow, we're going to need to remove obstacles. So we've seen a resolve in verse 12, the lifting up of the hands. You know, that commitment to change. Verse 13, to make straight and to remove unwanted debris off the track. And in verse 14, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. The third and the last is to pursue, follow. And this idea of follow literally has the idea of persecute. If you look at it in its root meaning, literally has the idea of persecute. And when we look at someone that is persecuted, or the persecutor, they chase with an awful lot of passion. You know, we as individuals with our relationship with Christ, we should have the same passion chasing after holiness and chasing after peace and chasing after righteousness as someone who is trying to persecute righteousness. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But it says follow. Follow peace with all men. You know, we're obese. We're not a peaceful bunch. We don't like red carpet. We don't like, you know, the pews to be set out a certain way when they've been set a certain way for so many hundreds of years. And we get set in our ways. You don't like someone stealing your car park. You should try it sometime. It is fun. Just to see someone's reaction. I was growing them. That's what it was. I was growing them. But, you know, follow peace. It's this idea of pursuing peace. Now, this is not, I'm not pushing this idea of unity at all costs, because that's the other extent of the spectrum, where you deny your conscience and you seek peace no matter what. And I've seen so many parents with this idea of unity and peace at all costs, and their kids are off running amok, causing huge problems in the community, in the church, in the family, and the parents turn a blind eye for the sake of peace within it. That's not the same thing.
Yeah.
But everything within you, as before the Lord, live peaceably. Mm-hmm. You know, we all rub each other the wrong way. We do things, whether it be what people set out on for morning tea. You know, there's no keto stuff out there for me, because that's my latest craze. But you understand what I'm saying? You know, there's no need to make a fuss about so much. It's following after peace with all men. 1 Peter 3:11. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensure it. In Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may be edified. You know, the Bible, blessed is the peacemaker. It's important as us, as Christians, particularly as we go into this new year, as a church, we dwell in peace. You know, not being brawlers and fighters because you didn't get your way. And we all like to have a good argument every now and then, don't we? Keeps you sharp. Try it on Facebook. But we are to be peacemakers in our Christian walk. Peace is always the preferable option in any relationship. And we ought to be passionate about the pursuit of peace within the church. And that means giving up your rights. It means swallowing your pride and acknowledging you're wrong. You know, one of the hardest things I learned as an adult is owning your own fault. Because we tend to pass the buck, blame someone else. And I didn't learn it in the home as a kid, so I learned it the hard way as an adult. Owning your own fault. You know, so that pursuit of peace. Swallowing your own pride. And secondly, he's got follow peace with all men and holiness. That holiness is literally a Christ-likeness. And none of us have ever got there. We've still got a lot of work to do before we get to a Christ-likeness. And you know, you'd find if we're all taking on a Christ-like attitude in the church, we wouldn't have half the problems we would we? It'd be a lot easier, a lot smoother. So we've seen a resolve, and as you're running the race, you're weary. You know, there was a lot of hard things this year for the church. Some of us are worn out. Some are just a little bit over it. But lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And in verse 13, make straight the paths of your feet, lest that any which be lame turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. That's the removing of anything that's going to cause problems for you, or whether it be for the church or in your home. And then lastly, this pursuit, to pursue, follow peace with all men and holiness. All right. Wasn't long, short, sharp and shiny. But I think we'll sing a song.